Going on, welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Lots of show. Let's not waste time. Nice to have you here. As you know, the jungle is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Nice to have you here. Show sets up like this. Coming up next segment, the head coach of the LA Chargers, Anthony Lynn. Next hour, a boxing analyst for DAZN and a senior writer for SI, Chris Mannix. Pete Prisco, also in hour number two. Phone lines are wide open in hour number three. In fact, never too soon to give you that phone number. Here it is, 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing. I do have an interview coming up next segment, but for the right telephone call, I might break the format. Or you never know when the interview is going to come or not come. Get yourself in the rotation, 1-800-636-8686. Or if you want, follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. And by now, you know to email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. You've got the guests. That's the show setup. Let me start my first topic, and that's the Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant celebration of life, which took place yesterday at Staples Center. And to say that that was a powerful scene would be a powerful understatement. 33,643 red roses, one for every single point scored by Kobe, surrounded a 24-foot by 24-foot stage. Beyonce performed, Jimmy Kimmel hosted, and Vanessa Bryant was the first person to speak. You know, watching her after the fact, because I was on the air during the memorial, but seeing that after the fact, I have no idea how she was able to speak about her daughter and her husband the way she did only 30 days after their tragic deaths. And she started by talking about Gigi.
Kobe always said she was me. She had my fire, my personality and sarcasm. She was tender and loving on the inside. She had the best laugh. It was infectious. It was pure and genuine.
Vanessa also offered up this detail.
She always kissed me goodnight and kissed me good morning. There were a few occasions where I was absolutely tired from being up with Bianca and Capri, and I thought she had left to school without saying goodbye. I text and say, no kiss, and Gianna would reply with, Mama, I kissed you, but you were asleep, and I didn't want to wake you. She knew how much her morning and evening kisses meant to me, and she was so thoughtful to remember to kiss me every day.
Again, I'm not sure how she was able to talk about her daughter in such a manner. I mean, it's beyond me, actually. I was crushed just watching that after the fact. And then she shifted to Kobe.
Kobe loved me more than I could ever express or put into words. He was the early bird, and I was the night owl. I was fire, and he was ice, and vice versa at times. We balanced each other out. He would do anything for me. I have no idea how I deserved a man that loved and wanted me more than Kobe. He was charismatic, a gentleman. He was loving, adoring, and romantic. He was truly the romantic one in our relationship.
She went on to say that Kobe was always checking on her at the start of Laker games to see if Vanessa was in her seat, and that he gave her the actual notebook from the movie, The Notebook, and that it was just one of a myriad of romantic gestures that he made. And then Vanessa closed with this.
Babe, you take care of our Gigi. And I got Nani, Bibi, and Coco. We're still the best team.
It's just so powerful and so moving and so impressive. And I still really cannot believe that she was able to do that and find the dignity and the grace and the courage to handle that the way she did yesterday. And when Vanessa was finished, Michael Jordan offered his hand as she came down the stairs. And it was a simple gesture, but it was really powerful, I thought. And she was followed by Diana Taurasi, Sabrina Ionescu, Gino Auriemma, and they all spoke about Gigi. Each one was incredibly moving, including Auriemma, who talked about talking with Kobe about being a coach and then seeing Gigi play.
Probably the most uncoachable player in the NBA during his career wants to know about coaching. And I wanted to know why. He said, I'm coaching my daughter's team. I said, oh, my God. That poor kid. So when I watched highlights of her playing, and on about the third or fourth time she touched the ball, Gianna passed it when she was open. I thought, she's not listening to her father.
Shaq was also there, and Shaq had some similar thoughts about Kobe's willingness to share the ball.
The guys were complaining. I said, Shaq, Kobe's not passing the ball. I said, I'll talk to him. I said, Kobe, there's no I in team. And Kobe said, I know, but there's an in me in that m-. So I went back and told Rick and Big Shot Bob, I said, just get the rebound. He's not passing.
Pretty much the quintessential Kobe line. Perfectly delivered by Shaq, and on a day when the emotions were extremely heavy, it was good to have a laugh like that. Thought that was one of Shaq's better moments. That was a really funny story. Lakers GM Rob Pelinka, who had been Kobe's agent, talked about his last exchange with Kobe and what it revealed about him.
I quickly saw that Kobe was asking me if I happened to know a certain baseball agent based in Southern California. I grabbed my phone and texted Kobe back that I had seen the baseball agent at a Lakers game just the other night and was happy to help him with whatever he wanted. It was now just past 9:30. Kobe texts back explaining his desire to help a friend of his secure a baseball agency internship for one of his young daughters. I text Kobe right back and said I would put a plan in motion to help him get that done. A handful of minutes later, Kobe and Gianna and seven other beautiful souls ascended into heaven.
Maybe the most moving part of the event, though, and every part of it was so moving, might have been when Michael Jordan talked about Kobe as a little brother.
Kobe was my dear friend. He was like a little brother. Everyone always wanted to talk about the comparisons between he and I. I just wanted to talk about Kobe.
Like Jordan does not drop his guard like that very often. He does not let you in. So the fact that he was there, being that open, being that honest, being that raw, being that real, being that emotional, felt like a special tribute to Kobe. MJ also had this amazing line as he was fighting through the tears.
We talked about everything. And he was just trying to be a better person. Now he's got me. I'll have to look at another crime meme for the Knicks. I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years. That is what Kobe Bryant does to me. I'm pretty sure Vanessa and his friends all can say the same thing. He knows how to get to you in a way that affects you personally. Even though if he's being a pain in the ass. But you ever have a sense of love for him and the way that he can bring out the best in you. And he did that for me.
That was perfect. The Jordan crying meme was officially retired yesterday, and it happened in the most powerful, painful, and poetic manner possible. I could continue to play clips from the Celebration of Life for the rest of the hour. It was really well done. It hit all the right notes. There were tears. There was laughter. It doesn't make it any easier. It certainly does not bring them back, but it was something. And it was a chance to grieve together, to mourn and to laugh, for folks to come together. I hope it helped Vanessa and the Bryant family a little bit, because I think that I can say with authority that it certainly helped Los Angeles, Southern California, and Laker fans everywhere. If you want to talk about what you saw yesterday or you want to share your thoughts, go ahead. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Other topics today. The NFL Combine is underway, and the NFL Combine is the very definition of silly season. Joe Burrow had his hands measured. They did not measure up as many would expect, and all of a sudden all hell was breaking loose. Oh no, he's got small hands. He held that perfectly. He met with the media today. I thought he held that really well too. And I've got lots of thoughts on it. Also, spring training underway, and the Astros are still getting booed. Jose Altuve got booed, and everybody lost their bleep all over again. I mean, is this the way this is going to go? We're not even anywhere near games that matter yet, and yet everybody is all over this. I want to go back and talk some more about Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Deontay Wilder was doing some talking yesterday, and some of what he was saying was not making any sense whatsoever. One thing he did say was he's going to exercise that rematch. It was in the contract on both sides that if either one of those fighters wanted a third fight, they would get it. Deontay Wilder is saying, oh no, we're doing that. We're going to run that back as fast as possible. I'm not sure that's the best idea. Just like blaming the loss on his costume was not the best idea. But he did that. I want to go back to something that happened a couple of days back. The update with it is, maybe you saw Chase Buford meltdown. The update is, he got suspended for that meltdown. My thoughts on it? Tried to get to Mad Bum yesterday, did not. I may update you on that too. And in case you did not hear, we've got ourselves a tour stop. The Buffalo tour stop, April 11th. I'm rebooting it. First stop, Buffalo at Shays. If you want tickets, they still do not go on sale for the regular public. The general public until Friday, you can get them right now by going to JimRomeWorldTour.com. JimRomeWorldTour.com. But if you want to buy a ticket there, and there's lots of different packages and prices, including VIP packages, which are still available, you've got to use the password JUNGLE. If you want to get tickets now, you need to use the password JUNGLE at JimRomeWorldTour.com. When we come back, Anthony Lynn, Chargers head coach, is my guest. Chris Mannix next hour. It is O-Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, so you want to stop in today for store-wide savings. Plus, earn double O-Rewards points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. If you're not an O-Rewards member yet, you want to head on over to O'ReillyAuto.com or visit in-store to sign up today and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, it's easy, it's free, but you want to make sure you hurry in. Double points are only available for a limited time. Also for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. So when your car is not stopping the way it should or the way it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies that you need to do that job right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you make your auto repair maintenance and restoration projects easier. Stop in today or visit online, rack up double O Rewards points during Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Tonight at 11 Eastern, Mountain West regular season champ San Diego State take on Colorado State on CBS Sports Network. Make sure you look for that. As promised, we're joined right now by the head coach of the LA Chargers. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He is entering his fourth season as the Chargers head coach. He agreed to an extension earlier this month. We consider him a good friend of the program. He is Anthony Lynn. Anthony, good to have you back. How are you?
Good to be back, Ron. I'm good, man.
Good.
Here at the combine. Might win some talent.
I'll tell you what, before I talk about the combine and you finding some talent, you and I, when we talk in the past, I always appreciate your approach to the offseason. And one of the things that we talk about here are our conversations are about how life is bigger than football. So I know you're going to make time for football. I know it's always going to be a top priority, but how are you doing these days? How is your life?
Well, it's good. It's good. You know, it's been probably busier this offseason than most. You know, I hate like hell coming off of a losing season. I'm trying to fix the problems right now. You know, a lot of times coaches get away and take a break. But for me, it's been it would be easier for me to get away and take a break and relax once I get going with the process. So that's what we're doing right now.
All right, so what about that process? As you mentioned, the season did not go the way you had hoped. You lost six of your last seven. So how did you go about processing that? In other words, do you try to learn from that quickly, or do you move on and use that as motivation?
Well, I tell you, when you have a season the way we had, you do learn a lot. You learn a lot about yourself before now, though. You know, we're looking at our personnel. We're looking at what we need, what we want. You know, we got a couple new coaching hires, looking at doing some different things. System-wise, we got to figure out a way to win, you know, get back to winning close games. You know, it's not like we forgot. We just didn't get it done last year. But, you know, losing nine games by one score, that was very painful and frustrating. And, you know, it's a long season.
Anthony Lynn, my guest. So in terms of that, nine losses by 7 points or less, in terms of that process, does that make you feel like you were close to something really special, or do you consider a loss no matter what the score was?
You know, to me, a loss is a loss. There are no more victories. But I know it speaks to the locker room that I have. Those guys, they don't quit. They fight. And as coaches, and we have to do a better job of putting them in positions to win football games. We got to figure out a way to win those close games. And like I said, that's something that I feel like we did my first couple of years here. And for whatever reason, last year, the turnovers came back, and we just turned the ball over too much. I mean, with 31st and giveaways, 32nd and least amount of takeaways, you're just not going to win a lot of games like that. We got to do better.
Anthony Lynn joining us. I know you're looking ahead, but let me ask you this, because earlier in the offseason, we had the announcement that the team and Philip Rivers were parting ways. As you look back on your time with him, what was he like to coach, and what kind of memories do you have of Phil?
I tell you what, we're going to miss him. Just his personality, his work ethic. He's a pro's pro. I have not been around a football pro that works harder than Philip Rivers, you know. But, you know, it's 16 years of having him underneath the center. You know, you always feel like you had a chance to win because of him. But it was time. You know, it was a mutual decision. He's looking forward to new challenges in his life. And I'm excited about the direction that we're headed. So looking forward to it.
Right, so that direction you're headed, the natural question then is, who takes his place at quarterback? You were with Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo. I can tell you're going to answer that one. You know, you were with Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo, so you know what he can do. I've made the point in the past that I don't think people fully appreciate how good and how effective a player he is. What do you see when you watch Taylor play?
You know, that's funny you say that, because I was thinking the same thing, and I don't think people do appreciate what he brings to the game. I think every year that he's had a chance to start, he's led the league in least amount of turnovers, so he's not going to beat you. And I do believe in this league, you lose more games than you win. And so, you know, having a guy like that in that position is very critical. But he's gotten better since the last time I had him. You know, I mean, we were a number one rush team in the league, and we were a top 10 pass team until I had to sit him down that last game that we played, and knock us out of the top 10. But this young man can do a lot of things. He's very intelligent, and I tell you that his teammates love him, and they will follow him. If he's the guy, I have no problem with that at all.
Anthony Lynn joining us. You know, so bottom line, you can't get into certain things about potential quarterbacks, but you talked about the importance of having guys that like a guy, guys will follow a guy. You certainly want to take care of the football. What are the attributes you're looking for in a starting quarterback? What lets you know that somebody is the right guy to lead your team?
Well, you know, I just I look at patterns in this playing, and, you know, if a guy values the football, you know, how he responds under pressure, how does he bounce back from adversity? You know, you have to study these guys and see if they're leaders, if his teammates look up to him, if the teammates follow them. Because you need all those intangibles at that position. You know, all the great ones have that. But and obviously production, you know. You want to see the production.
Anthony Lynn joining us for a few more moments. Now, you made the point that in the past, that being a good coordinator does not necessarily mean that somebody is going to be a good head coach, because the skill sets are so different. You were a position coach. You were an assistant head coach your entire career. Then you had one season as a coordinator, and then you became a head coach. So how different are you now as a head coach than in your first season?
You know, probably a lot more confident and sure about the things that I'm doing, because you know, you can say what you want. You can prepare all you want. You can have all the mentors in the world. But until you're under that microscope, there's a lot you don't know. And there are things that you learn. And I just feel like going into my fourth year, I'm very comfortable in my skin right now. You know, very comfortable. And I'm very comfortable in my abilities to put together a winning football team and lead an organization. So I'm excited about the guys I'm working with and the prospects that we may bring on our football team.
Anthony Lynn joining us. What about that? You've got that sixth pick overall. So when you're looking at that, how do you in the front office go about evaluating players and identifying the ones who'd be a good fit for the team? What are you looking for exactly?
Well, shoot, it's a few things. You can always look at offensive line. You can always look at a future quarterback. You can always look at a shutdown corner. I mean, a number of pass rushers. I mean, you can never have enough of those. There's just so many things. But we usually take the best available. And I don't think you can go wrong when you take the best available. But that's the process that we're working through right now, just trying to figure that out.
All right, so before I let you go, last July you went to Tanzania with your wife, your daughter, and your son to open up a school that you and your family foundation made a reality. What's it mean to you to know the impact that you're having thousands of miles away from where you are right now? What's that like?
You know, it's special, you know, just being over there and being with the people and the kids and just seeing how appreciative they were of the things that we did with the other people that we went with. It was just a special time, and I don't think about it much. But when I get off time now, you know, I do think about it, and I wonder what they're doing and how they're doing. And I'm probably going to go back over for 3 or 4 days this summer when I get a break and just make sure things are running smoothly. But you know, this is, to me, it's what we were put here on earth for, is to be a blessing. And I'm just fortunate to be in a position where I can do that.
You know, and you have such a strong desire to give back. How much of that comes from your mother, Betty, and what you learned from her growing up?
Oh, my mother would give you the shirt off her back if she had to. She's just, she believed in serving. She'd rather serve than be served. And she just kind of taught us to treat people the way we want to be treated. And, you know, she's a woman of faith, and I got all the respect in the world for her, but she's very strong at the same time.
So finally, how much did that experience impact you as a person and as a leader?
I think every day. I think without a doubt, you know, that she's my rock, and I've had other mentors in my life besides my mother, but my mother is no doubt, she's number one.
He is a two-time Super Bowl champion, the head coach of the L.A. Chargers, entering that fourth season as head coach. He agreed to an extension with the team earlier this month and getting ready for the upcoming draft, and the combine is underway. Anthony Lynn, my guest, good to run you down. Coach, thanks so much. I appreciate you.
Always, bro. Always, man.
You too, Anthony. You too, man. Be good. Always good to talk to you. Man, Anthony Lynn, every time I put him on the program, like, I want to do better. I want to do more. I want to be tougher. He's just kind of got that it. I always feel great talking to him. 1-800-636-8686. Like, that's, it's kind of like a man's man. It's a very, very tough individual. Tough-minded, tough physically. And he's going to stay the course. He's not letting go of the rope, is what I'm saying. He's going to stay on that path. Stay in the fight. Stay in the battle. All right, so we are wide open now for the next hour or so. Chris Mannix is coming up then. Before I run into Chris Mannix and have him on the show, I do want to talk about Deontay Wilder. Man, he was saying some pretty crazy things yesterday. And that's coming from somebody who really likes Deontay. You know this. I like talking to him. I like interviewing him. I like watching him fight. And I think he is every bit the gladiator and champion that he says he is. But he was saying some pretty wacky things yesterday. Watch that camera, Adam. Dude, that's the closest you've come to hitting that thing in a while. Since the first time you hit that thing. And you are still gimping around. How are you going to run that marathon? My man's walking on eggshells, literally. And Felonio Banderas tweets, "Pimp, I would have gotten racked that one call, but I got ran. Walking with my cell and battery cashed my takes. I could never get my takes under me." Signed, D. Wilder. All right, so you got me started on that topic. Deontay is saying the reason he had so much trouble with his legs was because of that getup that he walked into the ring with. And that's why he never had his legs. That 40-pound costume. It was not the 273-pound behemoth standing in front of him and beating on him. No, it was not that. That had nothing to do with his legs giving away. Rather, it was the ring walk, apparently. We will get into that when we come back. Phone lines are open. Use them. You get through Hawk. You get the rotation. You get on hold. You get on the air. People hear your phone call. Maybe you get racked. Maybe you get the huge call. Maybe you make it to the smack off. Hey, listen, we're already into February. That thing is going to come a lot faster than you think. It's invite only. Hey, one more thing. It's Tuesday. I forgot momentarily. What's your beef? It is a beef day. Normally, we do it in the second hour, but because I've got back-to-back interviews in hour number two, we'll carry that over to hour number three. Gives you more time to come up with a good beef. It can be about sports. It can be outside of sports. It can be personal. It can be with somebody in the jungle. Doesn't matter to me. If you have a beef, get at me. Beef on the phones, beef on Twitter, beef on email, beef on my Instagram feed, anywhere you want. What is your beef? Here is your sports update. Here is Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Once again, that beef segment is not coming until hour number three. Pace yourself.
Is this the beef jerky segment?
Not yet. Not yet. Think about what's aggravating you. If you need to get something off your chest, if you've got a beef, bring it to me in hour number three. My thanks to Anthony Lynn. It's a cool dude, Anthony Lynn. I'm glad they brought him back, and he got an extension. So we'll see what happens. He's got a quarterback situation. He was not going to say exactly who it is, but he said, Tyrod Taylor. He goes, if that's the guy, I'm comfortable with that. He's getting better and better. There is that other guy out there, too. Meantime, Deontay Wilder spoke to Kevin Ioli yesterday about his loss to Tyson Fury. We talked about that fight at length yesterday in hour number one, but Wilder says he is going to exercise that option for a rematch. He says he's going to exercise the rematch clause in the contract, so yes, there will be a third fight with Tyson Fury. The plan, as he outlined, is to take a vacation next month, then get right back to the gym and get back to work. Now, on the one hand, I understand why he'd want to come back and fight Fury as quickly as he could. He suffered a tough loss. It was an embarrassing loss, a humiliating loss. He wants to get that taste out of his mouth as quickly as he possibly can. Now, Kevin Ioli and I talked about this yesterday. Ioli pointed out that that is not the right decision, that in fact, that might be a recipe for a disaster.
If his team does him a favor, they would advise him to turn down the rematch. He will get another rematch, fight with Tyson Fury, there's no doubt. But this immediate rematch, I think, would be a mistake. I think what he needs to do, Jim, is take, you know, 6 months off, no boxing, no promoting, just go out and relax and let his body heal, let his mind heal, and then get back into the gym. Fighters often, after a fight like that, are never the same, and it's usually because they get back into the gym and they get back into the ring too quickly. If you let yourself heal, you'll be fine. That would be my advice to him. You know what? Don't rush back into this. You'll get him next year. You'll get him down the line. But right now, the most important thing is your health.
You know, I see why Deontay wants to get right back after it, but I tend to see it the way Kevin Ioli does. Guys who suffer a loss like that, especially their first loss, and rush back into the gym rarely are ever the same because they don't recover physically and mentally from that loss, and they're not the same. So the smart approach and the more challenging approach in some ways is to take that time off. Rest up, heal up, then come back. Maybe even get a tune-up under your belt and then get your rhythm back. In other words, let Fury face Anthony Joshua. Then you face the winner and you beat the guy who wins the unified belt. Or you do unify the belt. I mean, I get it again. It sucks. You want to avenge the loss and you want to erase the bad memories as quickly as possible. But you can't do it. Be disciplined. Let the pain motivate you in the long run. Deontay also praised Fury's performance, saying, quote, I'm super happy for Tyson Fury, and I really want to give him my complete congratulations. He's had a lot of great accomplishments in his career. This is right there with all of them. I'm very excited about his career and what he has done. He deserves a lot of credit. End quote. It's good. That's nice. That's right. So while he came with respect for Fury, and I'm glad to see that he did, he also came with some other interesting items, like the fact that he's still pissed at Mark Breland, his assistant trainer, for throwing in the towel and ending that fight. Quote, "I am upset with Mark for the simple fact that we've talked about this many times. It's not emotional. It's not an emotional thing. It's a principle thing. We've talked about this situation many, many years before this even happened. I said as a warrior, as a champion, as a leader, as a ruler, I want to go out on my shield. If I'm talking about going in and killing a man, I respect the same way. I abide by the same principle of receiving. So I told my team to never, ever, no matter what it may look like, to never throw the towel in with me because I'm a special kind. I still had 5 rounds left. No matter what it looked like, I was still in the fight." End quote. You know, so a day after the fact, I had made the point that I think and I hope that Deontay ultimately is going to come around to this, that he's ultimately going to come around to Mark Breland, a gold medalist, a 2-time world champ. He would know that ultimately Deontay will come around to the fact that Breland did the right thing. I now know that Deontay is not ever going to come around to that, especially hearing that. And on some level, I do get it. Deontay has a fighter's mentality. He is a gladiator. He is a warrior. He believes he can win with that devastating right hand at any time. But I'm here to tell you that was not going to happen on Saturday night because he was not himself Saturday night. And the reason he was not himself Saturday night was because Fury was coming right at him and hammering him. Wilder was not able to defend himself or mount any sort of attack in that right hand. That Hail Mary, that home run shot, that bomb, whatever you want to call it, it was not coming on that night. But to hear him talk about it, he still believed that he could win. And he believes that Breland betrayed him and let him down by throwing in the towel. And clearly he's not coming off that point, ever, which is fine. A fighter's got to have that mentality, a mentality that he can win no matter what. You can't lose that edge. There's no way that guy could step in between the ropes and do what he does without that edge. And he probably does think that throwing in the towel is a sign of weakness. And I'm sure he thinks the optics are not good when he's the guy on record as saying, "I want to take another man's life." I mean, he says that. Like, "I want to take another man's life." And then when he was in danger, the towel came in. I'm sure he didn't like the way that looked. When I always suggested that Breland was looking out for Deontay's best interests, Wilder still was not coming off that. Quote, "I understand he was looking out for me and trying to do what he felt was right, but this is my life and my career, and he has to accept my wishes." End quote. I mean, oh, well, that's not helping. There is always going to be the tension between a fighter and a corner. And especially when it comes to the corner throwing in the towel, especially when that fighter has got the knockout power that Wilder has, the fighter always thinks he has a shot. And he does not want that shot taken away from him by his own corner. That said, it doesn't mean that Breland didn't do the right thing. And it may in fact cost Breland his job. But if I were Mark Breland, I'd be able to sleep at night knowing that I did the right thing. Deontay may think that's a sign of weakness, throwing in the towel, but to me it's a sign of intelligence, a sign of compassion. It guaranteed that there would be a third fight with Fury, because the way that fight was going, if that fight had gone on much longer, there might not have been a third fight. Hell, there might not have been quality of life. That's how bad a beating he was getting. And to me, wounded pride is still a hell of a lot better than a damaged brain. Wilder, he was not done yet either, by the way. He also had some complaints about the ref and the fact that he felt there was a double standard with how he was being officiated and how Fury was being officiated. And he had a very interesting explanation for why the fight went the way it went. Quote, "He didn't hurt me at all. But the simple fact is, my uniform was way too heavy for me. End quote. I'm sorry, come again? Did he just say that the outfit that he wore into the ring was too heavy and that that's what cost him the fight? Quote, I didn't have no legs from the beginning of the fight. In the third round, my legs were just shot all the way through. But I'm a warrior, and people know that I'm a warrior. It could easily be told that I didn't have any legs or anything. A lot of people were telling me it looked like something was wrong with you. Something was. But when you're in the ring, you have to bluff a lot of things. I tried my best to do so. I knew I didn't have the legs because of my uniform. End of quote. All right. I really like Deontay Wilder. I really enjoy having Deontay on this show. I really like watching him fight. He's a warrior. He's a gladiator. But I'm here to tell you, that is one of the all-time worst explanations for anything ever. My pre-fight costume was too heavy, and that's why I lost the fight. Now, it had nothing to do with a 6'9", 273-pound giant pounding on my head. No, it's not that. It was my costume. Like, how heavy was that costume? According to Deontay, it weighed 40 pounds. Quote, I was only able to put it on before the fight, the night before. But I didn't think it was going to be that heavy. It weighed 40-some pounds with the helmet and all the batteries. I wanted my tribute to be great for Black History Month. I wanted it to be good, and I guess I put that before anything. End of quote. All right, listen. If that's an excuse, that's a bad excuse. If that's an explanation, it's an even worse explanation. You're blaming the costume. You're blaming the costume, the walk-up costume. That's why you lost that fight. Not the fact that Fury perfectly executed a perfect game plan and kept you backing up all night long, and you never got into any rhythm at all. I mean, yes, I'd agree. Wilder did not look like himself, and his legs did look off. But I'm going to say that was because there was a massive human being standing in front of him, backing him up and pounding him. Look, there's no shame in not having your legs work when Tyson Fury is beating on you. That's normal. It sucks, but it'll happen. Bad costumes, on the other hand, should not happen. I mean, what's a worse look? Blaming the fight on the costume, or what if he's right to blame the fight on the costume? Again, go ahead, ignore Tyson Fury and the clinic he put on for a moment and say that the costume really was to blame. If that's the case, why are you wearing a costume that's too heavy for the biggest fight of your life? And why weren't you trying it on until the night before? And when you finally did put that thing on the night before, why didn't somebody who was close to you, somebody in your corner, say, hey, man, really cool costume and a really nice idea, but it's probably too heavy. It could cost you the fight. You probably don't want to go out there with that. I don't know, maybe shave a few pounds off that costume. Maybe just go with that really cool mask. Or maybe, better yet, just go with the Mike Tyson towel. It doesn't weigh anything at all. It's a badass look. You can hurry to the ring and then beat up your opponent and wear whatever you want afterwards. Also, are you really trying to say that after all the training you had done, a 40-pound costume with a mask and batteries was too much? The heavyweight champion was done in by a 40-pound costume that he had to wear for a ring walk. How far is the ring? Did you walk that thing to the moon? It's not like he jogged a marathon. He's walking around like Hawk back here in the studio. It's not like he just jogged a marathon in an old-school deep-sea diver suit. I guess what I'm saying is this doesn't make any sense at all. Again, I've always liked my conversations with my man Deontay, but that explanation is really tough to take. Again, I know when you lose a fight like that, there's always going to be some mental gymnastics to explain what happened, but that is going way too far. That is taking a bad night and making it much, much worse. Don't blame it on your corner. Don't blame it on the costume. You know what you blame it on? Blame it on the guy standing in front of you who beat you down. That was Tyson Fury's fault. That's whose fault it was. When we come back, open segment next. The beef segment coming up in hour number three. And I've got interviews with Chris Mannix and Pete Prisco next hour. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour number two coming up next.